Hi, this is Chris with IBeatFirst.com. No Eric or Jason with me, but we do have Jim Law from Forum the Drift on here. So how's your day going?
It's going well.
So I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about your... So first off, you're the co-founder of Forum the Drift. How did you Forum the Drift get started?
Well, I would like to say that it was out of our genius, but but it's not. You know, it was just the opportunity that we saw. My partner and I, we created a marketing company. And one of the projects that we were fortunate enough to kind of land on is that we were the first group to bring D1, which is the kind of the first drifting series, out of Japan. We brought them to the U.S. in 2003 and co-promoted, co-hosted a exhibition match with them, so a bunch of D1 cars and some, you know, U.S. drivers that tried out to compete. And the 2003 event went off really well. We wanted to work with them going forward because I think the results were pretty good. There's a lot of people that, you know, came out. The drivers based here wanted to do more. The companies that participated wanted more of it. Unfortunately, the D1 series didn't have the same vision. They looked at this U.S. event as kind of media and publicity event. It wasn't about expansion. It wasn't about, you know, franchising. It was really just about having their series go to a foreign place and putting on a show. So when they stated that they didn't want to do anything further, we went forward and quickly created the series. We worked with a lot of the great partners that we had. And so that event was August 2003. So we announced that same November at the SEMA show that we were going to launch Formula Drift, at that time, a US-based drifting series. And by May of 2004, we launched a series. And I would say about 3 years after that, we thought we would be able to, you know, do the marketing agency stuff and do this, you know, event or these events, you know, as well, as one of the many things we did as a marketing agency. Right. But it soon kind of snowballed into something much bigger than we ever anticipated. And I would say, yeah, 2-3 years in, we kind of phased out the marketing agency business completely and have been doing Formula Drift full time since then.
Yeah. Did you ever really think it would get to the point it is at now?
No, I didn't. I mean, I think really what drove us was purely that we thought, you know, we liked the sport and obviously show that other people liked it. And so we thought that it was just an opportunity to do more of it. And a lot of things that fell thereafter, I think was, you know, I think it was just great coincidence, great timing. Just we positioned ourselves properly. You know, I think one of the things, for example, is that, you know, we are the series grew in the U.S., which is, you know, the largest car consuming market. Car culture is huge here. The sponsorship and advertising appetite for companies is very mature here. So we were able to take advantage of all those things, you know, and grow our series, but also grow the sport in a pretty quick way. I think it became kind of the global standard now because of our ability to get, you know, these partners to, you know, chip in and to partner with us and drivers from all over the world to come here because, again, we're in a huge marketplace versus, you know, a much smaller country, a much smaller market, like some of these other, where some of these other drivers are from.
Right. And how did you get into drifting?
Really, that was it. I mean, I've been, when I graduated college, I've been kind of in an automotive space, you know, always. I love cars since before I could drive. I grew up in Southern California, so my high school friends and I would all tinker in cars. And the import car scene was growing, and that's kind of the where I was, you know, drawn into. And after college, I started with a publishing company, and at that time I was working for Sport Compact Car and European Car Magazine. And same thing, you know, same niche, same genre, and always been very attuned to Japanese car culture. And obviously, you know, magazines like Sport Compact Car, Importuner, Super Street, all kind of covered that genre. So always been kind of part of it. And, you know, from the magazine, went and worked at a couple of different event companies, before choosing to start, our own company. But, you know, as we've seen the changes within kind of import and Japanese car culture, we've seen, drifting kind of slowly, trickle into that. And even when we brought, you know, D1 to the U.S. in 03, the whole year leading up to it was education. You'd think that, hey, I'm into, you know, Japanese car culture, mm-hmm. that person would know about drifting. They didn't. It was a lot of education, I think, on our part, even with the kind of what you would call like the core fans.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely kind of its own little niche, I guess you would say. And then how
yeah,
did
yeah yeah very very different.
Yep. And then how did you start working with Microsoft on this Formula Drift car pack?
Well, we have had kind of an, you know, on and off relationship with Microsoft, and obviously one of the best things is that we have been going to the Pacific Northwest since 2005, and so being that the track is, you know, 35 minutes from Microsoft headquarters. And as the brand and the franchise in Forza grew, a lot of, you know, folks that worked at Microsoft, worked at Turn 10, came and saw the sport. We were, you know, working with them with, you know, various campaigns. And even a couple years ago, Matt Field, you know, worked with them on the release of Gears of War. And I think it's, I guess it's, it, I would say it's hard to, ignore that, within kind of the, online community, drifting and Formula Drift cars are a pretty prevalent part. And so, you know, we've been kind of working on this for a long time to find a figure out a way to work with them. And we were able to, the last few months to kind of get it to this point where we are now.
That's awesome. So I know off of the Seattle round live stream, the hold screen was for Forza 7N, Horizon 4 was JTP's Mustang drifting alongside, Josh Robson's Ute. So yep. I guess it's safe to assume those two cars are going to be a part of the car pack?
Yes. So, yeah. So though I can't say which cars are in there, it's obvious those two are. The first pack, you know, hopefully more packs to come. But this pack will feature, I believe, 7 or 8 cars from the series, both Pro and Pro 2. So a nice variety. And yeah, and then part of the what's great is that, you know, Microsoft stepped in and made this super attractive where you'll get the Formula Drift pack as part of your pre-order, and you'll get it on Horizon 4 and Forza 7. So that pack will, you know, kind of be available for both games.
Which, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. So it's just a car pack. Is there going to be like any angle kit upgrades in Forza that you can just strap onto any car, or?
Yeah, so we took a brief tour over at the studios when we're up in Seattle, and we saw some of the great work that they've been working on. I mean, the game obviously looks awesome, the cars look awesome, but I think a lot of the time that's been invested is also the driving dynamic. You know, most games are just, hey, here's the car, and there's a certain, you know, quote unquote drift mode, and you kind of slide the car around or power slide the car around. And that's kind of the extent of it. But, you know, I would say one of the upgrades and one of the things that's going to be featured is angle kit, being able to, not have 30 degrees of angle, but, 60 degrees of angle. And how does that dynamic and how does that physics work on a vehicle? Not just, oh, here is a angle kit that you can have, and you know the driving dynamic is still fairly similar, but it's just a fun add-on. But actually, you can feel the effects of the modification that you have on the car.
Are there to be any like FD tracks coming to the game at some point, or some more like specific that might already be in the game?
Right, not in the near term. I don't think there'll be any custom Formula Drift tracks that are going to be in the game that isn't already in Forza 7, for example. But again, I think this is kind of our first dabble, our kind of first formal relationship with Microsoft. And the hope is that, you know, the community kind of accepts and responds well to this and demands more of this, and we can, you know, continue to work, work with Microsoft going forward, because all things motorsports, I think it's a pretty, you know, organic thing that things change, right? Liveries change, cars change season to season, sometimes mid-season. You have guys like, Alec Honnodale and past seasons, Ryan Turk, that have livery changes almost every race. Those are kind of really fun, upgrades and updates and downloads that can be had. And so I think because the natural kind of change and progression of a motorsport series, hopefully we'll be able to do more. But all signs are that the game has been well received, and obviously because of that and because of the pre-orders, a lot of players will be able to have Formula Drift cars, to access and to play with.
Speaking of like cars, if you could build one car for Formula Drift, just money, no object, hop in Forza, say, and just build it up, what car would you build?
What car would I build? Oh, man. I mean, I think for fun, one of the things that is still prevalent in Japan, but I would say is less prevalent elsewhere in the world now, or less and less, and definitely not so much in Formula Drift, is that I would love to build a big sedan. I think something about, a big long four door would be really fun. Like, if I was to build, like the new LS, right? And drive that around. I think that's super fun, because, again, we don't, obviously in real world competition, there's obviously huge disadvantages of doing something like that. But I think virtually and digitally, I think it'd be really fun to do that.
Yeah, I know Brian Young, 8-Bit Brian, he's got his LS400 now. He's been kind of drifting around with. And then have you done any work with Fantech or Thrustmaster for working with them in partnership or anything like that to work on this sim drifting?
We haven't, but we would love to. I think there's huge opportunity in that not only do gaming fans and fans of racing games and Formula Drift fans, there's a huge overlap in that. I think there's a huge opportunity for that. And obviously for younger enthusiasts that don't really have access to, obviously a physical car. I think the cost of entry is quite high to get behind the wheel of a car. And obviously if you're young, that's almost impossible to do. So to connect in that way, to provide a more realistic experience, and to, not just to play, but to potentially train and to make it a competitive environment, I think is something that we'd love to explore in the future.
Yeah, I know like with Gran Turismo Sport, they have a racing series where you can get actually FIA driving credits. Forza done one where you get on the podium at Le Mans. Is there anything you're maybe working on or looking into doing something similar with drifting?
I would love to. We are just in the early stages of exploring that. Obviously, now with our partnership with Microsoft, that we can have that conversation with them, but there's definitely an opportunity to have something similar to that. A lot of that, you know, with the Gran Turismo program, I think there's a lot of pieces in play that you have to have, you know, manufacturers that kind of support it and series to be able to funnel the player into a driver, into an actual car, and support that with, you know, all the right pieces, support pieces, right? Car mechanics, et cetera, to support that. But yeah, I think I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see, I see that definitely as something that is possible in the future.
Do you play any games yourself?
Very lightly. I think my frustration is that I'm bad at it. So to stay with it is hard, but definitely of the games I do play are definitely racing games. But yeah, I mean, I think it's like anything, it's intimidating. So when you get frustrated, it's like, oh, you gotta just spend a lot of time to get better and better.
Yeah. Are you looking at working with any other games? I know in the past, the cars have gotten to Project Cars 2, Dice Cars in Gran Turismo Sport.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a little bit of the business strategy behind it, you know, making it, you know, almost like open source, widely available, I think in a way could be problematic because being everywhere does takes away a little bit of the focus and the support. I think our partnership with Microsoft right now has been really good because I think we're focused on the partnership and working towards kind of growing, you know, in the near term horizon for and exposing that. So I think there's a lot of focus in that. The cars that were in Project Cars, I think is a loose relationship. Project Cars did some game, you know, pre-launch advertising with us. They dealt with the teams individually. But that was a light relationship. The Gran Turismo, you know, with Dai's car in there, was not, in any partnership with us. So there's no Formula Drift logos behind it. And that's again, partly because there, you know, we want to have a two-way relationship that it's not just a logo sign-off or here's a, you know, a licensing fee and then off we go. I think with anybody, it's about having that relationship, right? It's okay. Well, if you want these cars in the game, well, how are we working together to make it a win-win for everybody rather than just a very superficial sign off. It goes the same with like our sponsors, right? It's like, you know, we would love to, a check is great, but if a brand comes in and writes you a check, sends you a logo and doesn't talk to you for a year, it's just kind of a wasted opportunity all around. We love to have really engaged partners where, look, we're sponsoring your series or we're partnering with you or we're paying your licensing fee for something or we're working on something with you. And there's dialogue back and forth about, look, why don't we work on this together? Why don't we tweak that to make that better? Have you guys thought about adding this or changing that and doing that back and forth? Because then you're really in a relationship to grow, you know, that partnership.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. I mean, because you definitely want to work together and that way both sides benefit more from it, I believe. So
yeah, of course.
Have you had a chance to play Horizon 4 yet?
I did. I played the demo that was at E3 when we were on our tour, and yeah, it's really fun. The winter world is really challenging.
Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting to see hop in like a Supra or something like that, do some winter drifting, kind of like Osmo did in the off season.
Yep. Right. Trying to stay on that ice is hard.
Did you thread the needle in the demo?
I did not.
Okay. Yeah, I actually got a chance to play that demo too at E3, and they had one of those full motion sim rigs. I was coming up and I just nailed it just right. Cause like, oh, that's impressive. Nice. I think you're the first person I've seen do that.
Nice. No, we had a couple guys on that rig and yeah, I mean, it's when you add the physical motion to it, it's hard.
Yeah, well, it's definitely fun. Is there anything else you want to talk about or mention, shout outs?
Yeah, I mean, really, if, you know, for your listeners that, you know, are kind of, you know, what are these guys talking about?
Yeah.
Or that have seen, you know, drifting in the gaming environment, I would really encourage, you know, for those that are somehow captivated by what we're talking about, just to, you know, follow us and check us out. We feed tons of content onto Facebook, onto our YouTube and our Instagram accounts. Our live stream, you can watch a competition for free. We don't live behind a paywall. There is not a subscription that you have to sign up for, that you have to pay for. You don't even have to give up your your information and be afraid that we're going to spam your email. You can find various ways to watch us on various platforms, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and our own player on our formulad.com page. And I would say, you know, check us out and watch a little bit and see if you like it. I'm sure you'll see some really cool action and maybe one day come out to see it live, because you know, though it looks cool in, you know, short form social media videos that's on our Instagram page or on one of the driver's pages, or even, you know, a cool 2-minute piece that's on YouTube, it's not the same in person. It's so, so much more when you can be there in person. So I just, encourage and welcome everybody to kind of check it out and, take a tour for yourself.
Yeah, it definitely is a lot better in person. I got to go to Long Beach this year and it was definitely crazy awesome. Just being able to walk through the pits, drivers are super friendly and approachable, and you don't necessarily get that, I think, with some other motorsports or even sports in general. And it's just a very exciting, high octane fun. It's probably almost as good as being behind the wheel.
Yeah. I would assume so too. I mean, I think, you know, we are in our 15th season, and though that seems like a long time, I think in the world of sports, we're definitely in our infancy, or if not in our adolescence. So there's still a lot of room for growth, a lot of room for change. But you know, definitely, I think we're trying to create an environment that's fan friendly, that's welcoming. The open pits is a big part of it. You know, there's so much to engage with, whether it's the companies that are on display or the teams. The drivers are great because they know that, you know, we're new and we're growing as a sport, and that, to gain fans and to, keep, fans engaged and interested, there has to be some sort of, you know, relationship that there has to be dialogue. There has to be interaction. It can't just be, hiding in the trailer, away from everybody, or it can't be in, you know, extra pass just to be able to say hi to a driver. We have to take all those, barriers away, and make it as welcoming as possible.
Are there any locations you're wanting to go to for like a round, or adding more rounds, or you kind of said the 8 rounds?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, we take a pretty kind of conservative approach in terms of how many events we do. I think there's a balance between what the teams are financially able to do. We want them to grow. We don't want to spread them too thin. We don't want them to go out of business. We also have, you know, sponsors that obviously support it, and the sponsorship dollars obviously have to be there for us to, you know, grow or expand. And in some cases, we expand by delivering, you know, more content, more experience, rather than more events. But there's definitely regions that we would love to go to. This year, we added We moved our Montreal event, which is across the border, and that's, you know, a little bit different dynamically for teams and for fans. And we brought it back into the U.S. and we're going to St. Louis. That's our next round. It's the first time we've been back to kind of the Midwest region in a long time. We were in Chicago our second and third season, I believe. And we haven't been back since. So, we'll hopefully the turnout is good, but, now we're kind of back in that area. We'd love to be in, you know, a place like, you know, Detroit in the heart of, Ford and GM country. But I think we've geographically got kind of major areas covered. Though there's a lot of cities and a lot of regions that are clamoring for us to bring the series there. But again, it's a steady growth and a steady expansion. We'll go when I think all parties are ready, not just us or not just one of many components, but all components have to be ready to go. Before we expand to 9, 10, 11 events, or before we move from one location to another location.
And when can we expect more details about the Forza Kart pack, like the full list?
Yeah, the timing's good. The aim is part of our St. Louis broadcast. We will release the list of cars that will be in this pack.
Are they all going to be different chassis, or are we going to see some of the similar chassis?
There is two cars that are the same chassis but look quite different, and the rest are all different chassis.
Okay. Got to do a little digging in there, try to see what we can come up with. But definitely look forward to St. Louis, that is August 10th and 11th, correct?
That is.
Awesome. So we'll definitely look forward to that. And I think that's all the questions I have for you.
Well, awesome. Thanks for the time.